Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. I'm Janice Porter, and my guest this week is Carl Hebenstreit, who comes to us, I think you're in California right now, maybe.
I am in California. I'm in Southern California right now. Yes, thank you.
Been traveling, I know, and we'll talk about that in a second. But first of all, welcome to the show.
And thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I just want to tell a little bit, very little bit. I want you to tell the rest about you, that you are a certified executive coach, leadership and organization development consultant, author, and international speaker. And you are the author of this very, very academic book called Taking Care, the How and Why, Taking Care of Business with the Enneagram. Carl's yes. All about the Enneagram and has...
And I would say it's not just academic, it's applying the academics to practicality, to business practicalities and organization development interventions. So it's the actual application.
I apologize.
No worries.
That it's all about how to use this and apply it in business. But for me, when I first looked at it, I went, oh my God, this is like a textbook.
There are academics in it. You're absolutely right. I mean, my PhD thesis is in there. So you're absolutely right.
I'm glad that you corrected me, because absolutely, it's about how to use this tool in business. And I think that in itself, just taking it from the model that it is and then applying it is even more, to me, academic, but I know what you mean. Like, but this is the other piece that I love. This is a book that Carl wrote about the Enneagram, and it's a children's book called Nina and the Really, Really Tough Decision. This one, of course, I loved, because I love children's books, and I was a teacher, an elementary teacher. So that's why I love this, but also it's a great way to teach children, you know, how to get along with other people, really.
Yeah.
And how it is different. And the thing about this book, how many languages is it in?
So it's in English and it's in Spanish. It's also been translated into Greek, and we're getting a publisher for it in Greek. And it's also being translated into French.
Isn't that wonderful? So that's so cool. And does it have, I know it has some like questions and discussion questions in the back of this book. Do you have like, is it something you would do, like do a course on a pro D day, professional day for teachers to show them how to do this book, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. And it, of course it's intended for children, but at some point, some of the children may be too young to read it. Yeah. So the adults who read it to them will also get a lot out of it.
Of course. So, all right. Tell me, first of all, how did this come about for you? How did you get interested in this model and this piece, and when? Like a long time ago, or?
It was a long time ago. I didn't know anything about the Enneagram. I think it's right now it's very popular, or gaining a lot of popularity, and people really do know about it or finding out about it in a variety of different ways, whether it's through pop culture and quick, like, go answer this one question, we'll tell you what your Enneagram type is, or actually studying it for different reasons, for spiritual development, for personal development, for leadership development, for maybe they have a psychologist that they're working with, and the psychologist has brought it up to help them with it. But the way that I found out about it was when I was in graduate school going for my PhD in organizational psychology. And this was back then, it was called the California School of Professional Psychology in San Francisco. And what I didn't know anything about it. I was Myers-Briggs. I was DISC. I'd known all about those things. I was using them. I thought they were the bomb. It was awesome. It was great. And then I went to this one class, and it wasn't even an entire semester of it. It was just one class out of that semester, for that one class that I was taking, one session. And the professor that I had for the class somehow, fortunately, knew Helen Palmer and invited Helen Palmer to come to our class to teach us about the Enneagram, to introduce the Enneagram to us. And I didn't know who Helen Palmer was. And Helen Palmer is huge. Helen Palmer is probably the reason why the Enneagram is in is popular in culture right now, because up until she wrote a book about the Enneagram back in the, I would say, 1970s, the Enneagram was not taught to the public. It was a very esoteric, very, very secretive type of program that was taught for spiritual development.
So yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So she wrote it down. She popularized it. She said, you know, the world started learning about it, and then other people started applying it. But anyway, going back to the class, she came and she taught us about the Enneagram, and my mind was absolutely blown. It was just expanded. I didn't even think about the differences between behaviors that the other instruments were measuring, like the Myers-Briggs and the DISC and Hogan and all those, versus the actual motivation that was driving those behaviors. And I kept thinking about all the different applications that I could use this in human resources, because I was in human resources, and thinking, wow, we're not even tapping into a third of what we should be tapping into. We are not engaging and motivating employees appropriately according to what they want. We're just focusing on just a couple different archetypes here, a couple different energies here, and we're missing the boat on all these others. So I immediately decided that I was going to dive deeper into researching it, and did my dissertation on it. And it was how to help organizations attract, retain, and motivate employees.
So you discovered, if I get this correctly, that from your experience with the other tools that are used in business, like DISC and the personality type things and so on, mm-hmm. that this was much deeper and there was much more to it, and would be a much better overall tool to use in business. That was your premise. You wanted to find out, right?
And absolutely. And it really goes along to what you talk about on your podcast, about the relationships, about the connections, right? So if we just see someone's behavior, we have no idea why they're behaving that way. We make assumptions. We make assumptions based on our interpretations or our limited worldview.
Right.
Because we have a certain worldview that we're looking at the world through. And if we actually get to know them and find out what's important to them, what their values are, what their drivers are, what motivates them, what's important to them, what their hot buttons are,
right,
then we'll understand what's important to them, and we will have better relationships, deeper relationships with them.
Be able to communicate.
We'll limit conflict, because we won't be interpreting things in a bad way. We're looking at, you know, why they're actually doing it, and we'll actually be able to better communicate and influence them, looking at giving them exactly what they need, as opposed to extraneous stuff that they may not be interested in.
Okay. So just to simplify it for me and my audience. So in the children's book, you show that Nina goes to see all of these different friends of hers, and each one of them has a different number associated with.
Exactly.
Right. And those are the numbers on the Enneagram, and each one of those is a different personality type? No,
it's called the personality typing system, just to simplify it. Okay. And it's much more than that.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was looking, though, in your book, the other book, is there a quick test I could have taken, which I should have asked you beforehand, to see which number I was? And I know we have different pieces of different ones in us, but we must have
a main one.
A core type. Yeah. Exactly. So is there a quick test online that people can take?
There are so many, and some of them are much more valid than others. I'm happy to, I'll send you a link.
Can you tell what somebody? Okay, so what do you think?
No. I can. So we should never be looking to guess or identify someone's type without them telling us, because we don't know what's going on. We're not mind readers. We don't know what's going on for them. We have no idea what they're thinking, what they're feeling, and what.
I wrote them all down from the kids' book.
Yeah.
Okay, so that I could get a sense of them, and I'm not sure. There's a couple that feel like me.
Yeah.
But I definitely, you know, I think
are you willing to share which ones they are?
Yeah, well, I think, sure, of course. So do you want to go through what the nine are?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the children's book, since we're focusing on that, the type are 1 through 9.
Yeah.
And the names are also indicative of the type. So type 1 is Juan, right? Type two is Chewy. Nina is a type nine, so she's Nina's nine. Eight is Kate. So the type one, which is the type, and we all have, and as you said, we have all nine of these energies within us to certain extents, and we can access all nine of these energies within us. It just takes us to focus on which one is appropriate for that moment, for that situation. So if we look at, I'm going to simplify it even further. I'm going to look it into groups of three.
Sure.
And maybe the types that you selected are fall into one each of these groups of three. So we have the heart types, we have the head types or thinking types, and we have the body or action types. So if we start, let's start with the heart types. Mm-hmm. So the twos, the threes, and the fours are the heart types. So the type two energy is all about intuitively reaching out and knowing what other people need. So always having these feelers out that are looking and understanding what other people's needs are and meeting those needs or wanting to help people meet those needs, even if the person hasn't asked for the help themselves.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so that's where the twos can get into trouble with that.
Yes.
It's that intuition of knowing what other people need and suppressing their own needs in the moment, right? They're always looking at other people's needs and not necessarily their own. So that's the superpower the twos have, that intuition of meeting other people's needs and wanting to be liked and appreciated for that. Hmm. So the type three heart energy or feeling energy is seeing what other people's needs are, but also maybe pushing their own needs down in service of achieving goals. They're always about goal attainment, goal achievement, meeting the objectives. So that's the type three. That's so the two is the giver or helper. The three is more about performing and achieving. And the type four heart energy is taking all of those energies in, all those feelings in, very empathically, feeling what other people are feeling what they're feeling themselves, and really being in those feelings and wanting to be appreciated for being special, unique, and different. So those are the heart types. And each of us, whether it's our primary or not, are going to really be attracted to one of those three. Because that's how everyone accesses their heart. Everyone has feelings. Everyone feels. So how do you basically feel? You feel through one of those three energies or lenses. So it's up to you to decide which one of those that is. And I don't know if that you picked, if one of them is in the two, three, or four range.
Mm-hmm. One of them is.
Yeah. So perfect. That's probably your feeling style.
Yeah.
So from the feeling center, we then go to the thinking center, the head center. And those are the fives, the sixes, and the sevens. So think of them as thinking styles. So the five is all about objectivity. The six is about worst case scenario planning. And the seven is all about positive outcomes and opportunities. So the five's energy is really all about collecting all this random data that's out there and making it make sense, creating models to make it make sense, so that they can predict what's possibly going to be happening in the future and they can be prepared for it and not look foolish. Mm-hmm. So that's what the five is really all about. Fantastic at creating, synthesizing this information, making it make sense. The six is great at planning because they're always looking at worst case scenario situations because they want to feel safe, comfortable, and secure. So they are looking for the safety of a tribe, their people. They are looking at, not necessarily to throw a monkey wrench into things, but to prepare for the worst case in case it does happen, and then they know what to do so they can be safe, comfortable, secure, and still achieve the goal.
Are they the worriers?
They do worry, but other types can worry as well.
Okay.
And other types can worry as well, I should say. And the seven is the optimist, right? So it's all about opportunities and adventures and experiences and just really taking advantage of all the different options that are out there, brainstorming. So those are all the head styles, the thinking styles, right? Mm-hmm. And each of us is going to have one of these as our preferred mode of thinking. Not that we can't think through the other two styles as well, but that those are secondary or they take more focus for us to think that way. So you probably, I don't know if one of the top that you came up with is in one of those categories in that thinking style.
Yeah, I get more confused as we go on here. But
oh no, it's meant to be simplify.
Because I know that some of how I operate is logical and let's get the facts and then let's organize sort of the analyst type. But that's not my primary, I don't think. I think mm-hmm. I'm much more about people and mm-hmm. making friends, making other people feel comfortable. Yeah. And but I'm also about loyalty. So, you know,
So those are not mutually exclusive.
Correct.
So you do have, because it's called your triadic style or trifix or tri-type. So you will have a top energy in each of these centers, and one of those will be your primary.
Okay.
So
okay.
If you're not identifying that the thinking style is your primary focus, it may be because your heart center, you lead with your heart.
I think I do.
So yeah. you will have one of those heart styles as your primary, but you still have a thinking style.
Okay.
Right? And you still have an action style.
Yeah. So that's the third one is the action style.
That's action or body or gut. Yes. And so there are eights, nines, and ones. So our eights. So if you think about it, so you have the feeling, you have the thinking, and then you have to do something with it. Like you felt, you've thought, now what do I do with it? So then you take action. So the eights are all about taking action immediately, leading, executing. They're the boss, protectors, generals. They're about control, power, authority, justice, truth. There's truth seekers. They want to know what the truth is. They don't care what the truth is. They just want to know what the truth is. Exactly. Don't sugarcoat it for them.
Yeah.
Just give them what it is and they will deal with it. They're great with conflict. They see conflict and debate as a way to get to truth. They don't necessarily like conflict, but they see it as a tool to get there. And they're the ones the most comfortable with conflict because all the other styles are not necessarily looking to have conflict or embrace conflict. And the eights, again, don't love it, but they see it as a way to get to truth, which is what they're seeking ultimately. The nines don't like conflict at all. They're the peacemakers. They're the peacekeepers. They're like, don't rock the boat. Let's just all get along. And they're great at looking at the entire system. They're looking at every single little bit of every little option and component and seeing the value and positivity that it brings and the value that it all brings together to the system, how everything comes together and works. And the type one is looking at things as, well, what's the right thing to do in this situation? Maybe it's according to their values, their morals, their ethics. But it's always about doing the right thing, what's the right thing to do, and having the sense of perfectionism. I need to do it perfectly.
So tell me what type this question or statement brings up. Because right away, when you started and you said, well, let's do it into the three sections, which I love that you did that. But right away, I was annoyed. Why isn't it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? I'm annoyed. Why?
So, okay. So there are a couple answers for that. Sure. So some types are predisposed to be focused on, I needed to be in a certain way. I needed to be in order. I need to be following certain rules. Yeah. So the type ones can definitely fall into that category. Yeah. The type fives, remember the fives wanted a system too. Yeah. They wanted something to be predictable. Yeah. So the fives might be a little annoyed at that as well.
Yeah.
And if you look at it as a system and they might say, oh yeah, it doesn't matter. It's arbitrary where you start as long as it fits within the system and there's a reason for it. And there is a reason for why it's not 1, 2, 3 as the heart styles and 3, 4, 5 as the feeling style, as the thinking styles. So when you actually see the symbol, there are lines that connect each point to two other points on the circle.
Okay.
Then. And one of those lines is you want to call it your stretch or your stress line. So where you will go under stress or stretch. Yep. That's exactly. Right.
Okay. Got it.
And the other line is your comfort or release line, which is where you will go to comfort. And you learn from both of those lines. Those are the easiest and most impactful, if you want to look at it that way, lines to learn from for your growth and development. Because you want to go to the high side, and there are high sides and low sides for each different energy, right?
Yeah.
There's the positive, and then there's the creative side and the reactive or negative side, mm-hmm. unproductive side, unhealthy side. So you always want to strive to go for the healthy and creative.
And so that's why the one never sits in the right place. Is that why? Because...
Yeah. Oh, it sits in the right place for this system.
Yeah. All right. Yes. See, I guess there's some perfectionist in me as well. I thought it was interesting that the I think it's type seven is one of it's the adventurer and the epicure. I thought that was interesting.
The epicure in the sense of wanting to experience everything.
Okay.
Right? Enjoy, taste everything.
Food. It's not just food. It's tasting.
It's everything. It's experiences. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So really fascinating. And it's funny because I was talking to somebody, I think it was someone I interviewed the day before yesterday. And she is had the Enneagram as one of her things that she did. Oh, wow. About you and showed her your book because she hadn't heard of you, but the leadership coach or an executive coach. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she might be an interesting person for you to talk to. Actually, she's
absolutely
brilliant. And I think that's who it was. And I'll double check after our call, but
yeah, I'd love that connection.
Yeah. And so I can see whichever model I've seen in the past, and I've experienced the DISC and the other ones you mentioned, the Myers-Briggs, that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
The color ones, and then there was another one that was, I forget the name of it, but I wrote down when I was looking that number seven, I thought of the promoter. I thought of whereas number eight are like the controller. So there was another one I did somewhere, the controller, the promoter, the analyst, and the blue, which I guess it was the color.
Oh, that's DISC. That is DISC. So when there's those four categories and they have those names, so the red is the dominant, the D.
Yeah, dominant, right.
So those are the assertive types. So our threes, our sevens, and our eights would fall into that category.
Yeah. So there's a lot of similarity, and because of course we only have certain attributes, right? But for me, I don't think I've ever had one stick with me in terms of being able to see that in other people, except maybe it was the DISC, because that's the one I remember. I remember, like, I see my daughter is such a promoter. She's a salesperson. She's an active person. She's like, let's get this done. She's no thinking about it. And I can see, and I'm a dominant person, and like, I'm the bossy one, and I want to get order and organized and get everybody happening. And then my sister is like, wants peace for everybody. She's the
nine energy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can see those things, and this just gives another dimension to everything, right?
It explains the reason behind it. So what is the reason for the need to be dominant, or the behavior of being dominant?
Yeah.
Right. Is it the need for, and by the way, one of the subtypes for the type one can also be very dominant. We haven't even discussed subtypes. That's getting a lot deeper.
Yeah.
The different instincts, or three different instincts, which create subtypes. And anyway, so the what's the reason for the dominance, the behavior of dominance? Is it the need to control, or is it the need to be able to be free and have autonomy? And that way you're able to control your destiny by doing all these different things.
Or to prove yourself.
Or is it for meeting some certain goal of proving yourself that I can achieve this goal? This is the goal that I put for myself, and I'm going to achieve it.
Or so to prove yourself to somebody else.
That could also be for the type three as well.
Yeah, there's so many different things that come to mind. Okay, so how do you, who in a business environment is going to use this? Is it going to be the HR people, or does it have to come from the top down? I'm not even a corporate person, but I'm just curious,
So the answer is everyone.
Okay.
Everyone can benefit from it. So ideally, if it becomes part of an organization's culture and the leadership team embraces it and says, wow, I can see the value in this, and this works with my leadership team, and then this is exactly what I've experienced, right? I've gone in, I've done it I've delivered a workshop for the top leadership team. They all get it, and they say, wow, I need this for my leadership team, and their leadership team needs it for their direct reports and their direct reports. And that's how it really takes.
It has to start at the top, really, generally speaking.
It does have to start at the top. And it can also bubble up from the bottom. It can be grassroots effort. So different, I've seen it happen where people go from one organization to another. It's the Enneagram is not in that organization. They start using it with their team. Other parts of the organization see the successes that they're having. They say, hold on a second, this is great. Let's use it too. So then it starts bubbling and it goes up.
Okay.
So it's whatever works. The answer is whatever works for the situation, the culture, the organization. And it really is readiness. The person's readiness, the leader's readiness, the employee's readiness, the organization's readiness, the team's readiness, just everyone's readiness. How ready are they for
when this? You wrote the children's book, what age group did you have in mind?
I think that it would probably apply best. And again, it depends on the advancement of the children, probably starting the earliest at 8.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
8. Definitely the 10-year-olds get it immediately.
I would say grade 3 or 4. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. Yeah. To use that in a school. As I said, I taught school a long time ago. You just came back from a cruise in which you got to do a presentation on your cruise.
Yes.
Of the Enneagram. And that's exciting. So you have what, 250 people in the audience?
Yes.
Now, yeah. They weren't on an educational tour. They were on a
vacation. They were on a vacation. All the ports that we visited were truly islands with beaches. So people were going out there and snorkeling and swimming and laying on the beach. So this was definitely not part of their agenda.
But 250 people showed up. So that's pretty
cool. Yes. Well, it was a captive audience.
Absolutely. But they didn't have to come, right?
No, they didn't. There were plenty of other opportunities. I was up against, I think there was a poker tournament or something going on. there were other things going on.
So tell me how that, of that audience, I'm imagining, I don't know, that you asked them if they'd heard of it.
Yes.
Okay. How many?
If you had, so throughout the cruise, I was asking people when I was meeting people, you know, yes. I was telling them, oh, I'm going to be doing this on the last day, our last sea day. And, you know, feel free to come if you're interested. You don't have to come, but this is what I'll be talking about. Very few people knew.
You were promoting.
I was promoting. They were promoting for me. They had a video that they shot a video and they were, and I was on the front page of their little daily newspaper and everything like that. So it was great. But the thing that what I found out was, and this was mostly Australians because the cruise ship left from Sydney, but it was people from all around the world. And the thing that I found out was that most people did not know about the Enneagram. Sometimes if they did, it was because they were clinical psychologists.
Okay.
And so I didn't know who was going to show up at the workshop, at the 1-hour seminar. And I asked at the beginning of the seminar how many people had heard of the Enneagram or knew anything about it. And less than a dozen raised their hands.
Yeah. Interesting. So that was
afterwards. Yeah. A lot of people came up to me and said this was incredible. And it was really opened up their eyes. They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know anything about it. And it was really very powerful for them and impactful.
Now, I think I said to you when I first met you that my recollection of anything that was connected, because I had heard the word, I knew what basically it was. It went back to a time when I did a course on the 24 sacred gifts. Mm-hmm. And the woman that taught me that also had studied the Enneagram. And I felt there was this religious or spiritual connection. Can you
speak? Yes. Yes. So the origins of the Enneagram are ancient and mystic. Okay. So the symbol itself is a Sufi symbol.
Oh.
And the actual concept can be traced back thousands of years, because if you look at the Odyssey and Odysseus's travels, Homer's Odyssey, it's actually the Enneagram in order. The lands visited are the Enneagram in order. Yes.
And the lands visited?
Yes. Are the Enneagram in order. There's a book, Michael Goldberg has written a book about this, and he shows how the Odyssey is really the Enneagram, the story of the Enneagram. All the different lands are the Enneagram. Russ Hudson does a great trip annually, a trip to Egypt to show all the different symbols, and we're in the pyramids, embedded in the pyramids are Enneagram concepts. Wow. So it's really fascinating to see how old it is.
Yeah.
And we'll never know exactly what the origins are, but we do see it around the world pervasively.
So your goal now is, as a speaker, right, to go and spread the word, so to speak.
Yeah, I want to make people's lives easier. I want to make their relationships easier. I want them to have more effective relationships, do better at work, be better people, be better human beings, and just live an easier, better life.
And if they study the Enneagram and the motivations behind our actions, we'll learn more about each other. We'll be able to get along better.
Absolutely. Think of it as emotional intelligence, because in an emotional intelligence building, you start with self-awareness first, understanding what your own drivers have been and will continue to be throughout your entire life, because your core Enneagram motivation will stay with you for your entire life. It's just the expansion. It's the and. So in addition to that, let me see how I can integrate the other eight styles and make sure that I'm not only fixated and looking at the world through that one lens,
right,
and thinking that other people are also looking at it that same way. So then when you realize that other people don't, then you empathize with their perspective.
And adapt as accordingly.
Ultimately, that's the third point, adapting and integrating it and using it. So bringing it into your own worldview, expanding your own worldview to realize that it's not just that one style or motivation or perspective. It's all of them.
That's amazing. And it's actually a great place to stop, because we've kind of come full circle now. It's right. We understand a little bit more about the Enneagram. I hope my audience does. I know I do. And I want to go and find out a little bit more. And I also see the value in what you're now. This is a new journey for you, right? Because were you teaching, by the way, or were you in?
So I found out about the Enneagram back last century, if you were looking at it that way. In 1999 is probably when I started my journey.
Yeah, but were you in corporate yourself?
I was in corporate up about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I was still using the Enneagram in my organizations, in the organizations that I
worked. But now you're going out on your own. Now you're the author speaker circuit.
So yes, exactly.
And it'll enlighten a lot more people's lives and businesses about the Enneagram. So
that's my hope. That is my dream.
I think not a hope, more of a dream. I think it'll happen. I think it's interesting. People are so much today in need of the softer side of things and also like you said, it always stays with you. The world's changing and is crazy right now, but those kinds of things, we need to understand people and be aware of what's going on for a lot of people.
Right. And going back to your audience, the value in the Enneagram for your audience is, if you're a leader, knowing about what your predispositions are, finding out about your direct reports, your team's ways of what motivates them, so you can engage them and motivate them and retain them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're in sales or marketing, really knowing, I was just part of Samsung just did a launch yesterday for their new product. And I tuned into it and I was fascinated to see that they touched on every single Enneagram point. What would be of interest to each of the nine different styles so that they wouldn't leave anyone out? They'd be very inclusive. So it's really about inclusion, mm-hmm, right? Including all of diverse perspectives and needs. Yeah. So if you're in a sales and marketing perspective, if you make sure that you touch on all of those focal areas that each of these nine energies is looking for, mm-hmm, for their comfort, mm-hmm, then you will know that you've addressed the needs of your stakeholders, of your clients, of your potential customers. So it's for HR, same thing. How do you work with your leaders and employees, like finding out what's important for them, creating systems that will really motivate them and engage them. So this is really a system that can help bring everything together.
It's amazing. So
I agree.
I think that's great. And I'm really glad that you came to talk to me and my audience about it, because I think we'll spread the word, you know, and we'll get some more people interested in it. So I will, in the show notes, where can people get these? I'll put it in the show notes on Amazon.
They're on Amazon. They're in bookstores. Yeah. So absolutely. Feel free to
get hold of you.
So I'm on LinkedIn, of course. My website is performandfunction.com. So it's like a play on words, form and function, but it's perform and function. And you spell out the N% side. So it's PerformandFuncition.com. And my LinkedIn is R. Carl Hebenstreit, and Carl's with a K.
Got it. And I'll put all that in the show notes. So
thank you
so much for being here. Thank you for coming today and spending some time with us. And thank you to my audience again for being here. And if you like what you heard, please let us know and leave a review and share this information. If you think you have some questions and you want to talk to Carl, you'll know where to find him. And remember to stay connected and be remembered.
Thank you, Janice. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.